In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The ending of last week's epistle sets us up for what will take place this week. When we left Peter last week, he went to Simon the tanner. This was after he had healed Dorcas, the first female disciple. What is a tanner? Anybody knows what a tanner is? Well, believe it or not, a tanner was someone who made animal skins into leather. And because the tanner came in contact with dead animals, Jewish laws considered him and everything around him as unclean. Yet Peter, a devout Jew, chose this environment to stay in. This morning's epistle begins at chapter 11. It has omitted chapter 10, perhaps because chapter 11 is a repeat of chapter 10. When chapter 11 starts, Peter is being sharply accosted by circumcised believers for going and eat with uncircumcised men. Why do you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them? What do you hear in that tone?
Condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment.
Yeah.
Criticism.
Disgust.
Condescension.
Yeah.
I'm done. She didn't give me those answers, by the way.
But they were good.
Thank you.
What is that? Doesn't that question sound familiar? When did you hear something like that before? I'm going to quote this from Mark 2nd chapter Mark. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Remember that? We hear the same condescension and disgust towards Jesus as he ate with the sinners and tax collectors. But Jesus replies to them and says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." In order for his accusers to understand his reasoning, Peter gives a testimony of what happened to him. Peter had a vision. You ever had a dream that seemed so real? I've had dreams where I step off a cliff into this deep water. You ever had one of them? I don't know what it means. But he has this dream. Here comes a voice telling him to get up and eat what he saw. Four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air, all of which would have been deemed unclean by Jewish law. Take a look at the book of Leviticus. It spells out very clearly what Jews thought were unclean. However, a voice tells him three times, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter stubbornly refuses, because he's held captive by the Jewish laws of clean and unclean. Even although he answers, "By no means, Lord." So he knows who's talking to him. And yet he refuses to obey. The voice then thunders, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." While Peter is in distress, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, is also having a vision in which she's asked to have Peter come to him. Peter also has a visit from the angel who tells him to go to Cornelius. Cornelius wishes to be baptized and to learn about Jesus. Peter tells those listening to him that Cornelius and his entire household received the Holy Spirit just as they had at the beginning of Acts. All of my people that studied Acts with me should remember these stories. What happened in Acts 2? the Holy Spirit. We're coming up to Pentecost very shortly. What chapter 11 has left out is this verse. Peter went inside and found a large crowd of people gathering. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile." Who was a Gentile? Cornelius. "But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." And then Peter profoundly tells them, "If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should be with God?" What is taking place here is the introduction of Gentiles into Christianity. This is the fulfillment of the Great Commission, going beyond the natural, the national, and religious boundaries. Christianity started within Judaism. We can't get away from our Jewish roots. A lot of our practices are what we did as a Jewish nation. It is thought to be a sect within the borders of Judaism. This meant that anyone choosing to be a Christian had to obey Jewish laws. You had to be circumcised and follow the Jewish laws, especially of what was considered clean and unclean. The laws were prohibited. Any Gentile would have had a hard time assimilating into the sect. But it is as if God knew this. He put two unlikely people together. Peter, whose stories of healing and teaching is spreading even to the ears of Cornelius, and Cornelius, the Roman centurion from Caesarea, described as a good man. Nevertheless, he was a Roman leader and soldier. These two persons will put a total spin on Christianity. Peter realized very quickly he's not being led by his own volition, but was rather being led by God. And I think this section, I'm going to read you a section from chapter 10, which brings it all together. Cornelius says to Peter, "Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Remember, Cornelius has a vision. And he says, the vision tells him, the angel tells him, "Go and call Peter." And so Peter comes, and everyone, his household and Cornelius, are assembled to hear what Peter has to say. What I'm going to read to you now, if anyone says to you, "What is it that you believe?" Look for this passage. Peter then began to speak. "I realize now how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the providence of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and has caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, like us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all of the first message. You You understand why I say that that is a powerful piece of scripture to describe what it is we believe. And Peter is telling Cornelius that all is within his hearing of the power of God and Jesus Christ. This is what we believe. This is why we come in here every Sunday. Peter, the man that denied Jesus 3 times. But remember what God said, Jesus said to him, upon you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You have just seen the beginning of the building of this church. Throughout this impassioned speech, Peter uses the words all and everyone several times. Christianity, therefore, was for everyone. How far we have come from the old days of the Old Testament, when Noah was the only one worthy of God's grace. Right, Wednesday people? Remember, God said Noah was the only one, the righteous man he found? And so that is why he saved him on the ark. And so God could only find this one man, which was Noah. And here we are in the book of Acts. And all the Gentiles are now being. What switch? Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is baptized. And all through baptism receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. With receiving the Holy Spirit, we receive forgiveness of sins and salvation, beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ. Quite honestly, nothing has changed since Cornelius was converted to Christianity and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Has anything really changed? We accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Today, we have Christians of every language, tribe, and nation. A 2012 statistic says there are over 2.4 billion Christians worldwide. Christianity spread as trade routes increased in the Middle East. It came to prominence in the West when Emperor Constantine made it the national religion of Rome. We today are still asked to go spread Christianity in our backyards and abroad. And as Christians, we are called to love each other. It is no mistake that the gospel, which pairs well with this epistle, repeats the love message of Maundy Thursday. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Peter went on the inside, on the outside, sorry, of all that he had held sacred to embrace and let into the fold someone who could have killed him. Peter loved Cornelius enough to impart the good news of Jesus Christ. But it is so easy to be discouraged by those we see around us. We begin with, they're not of the same class, skin color, job title, they don't think like us. We are discouraged by the skin piercings, the tattoos, and the hairstyles. But Jesus said, just as I have loved you. How has Jesus loved me? How has Jesus loved you? How has Jesus loved us? Put up with our wrong choices, our bad behavior, our anger and intolerance. However, he forgave us as we knelt at his altar and begged for forgiveness. saw our tears of regret and remorse. He saw our hearts. He saw as we reached over the fence to tell someone about him. He saw when we invited someone to come with us. And you know what they said?
No.
How many times have you started to say, I go to church? And someone says, not today. He is with us as we are rejected. He saw us as we sat next to the bed of a dying person and asked them to receive Jesus into their hearts or not to take them from us. He saw our gratefulness for good doctor's test results, good health results, and the joy of bringing new life into this world. This is the love of Jesus. When we're down low and in the dirt and we don't know how to get up, there's just something pulling us to get back up. Stand up. This is the love of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the heart of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we reach you both our hands in love. May bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. You know where that came from? Our prayer book, page 101. Use our prayer books. Do you have prayer books? If you don't have one, I am quite ready to supply you with one. We have to keep developing these relationships with Jesus. Where does our strength come from? What does Psalm 121 say? I lift my eyes to the hills. Well, whence cometh my strength? My strength cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Being a Christian is tough. The world is evolving. And as a church, we like Peter have to forget some of our old laws. I remember when I went to the church and I lit the left candle first before I lit the right. And someone said, no. And I said, well, is God going to come and give me a slap for lighting that wrong candle? We cannot keep, how many times have we lit these candles this morning and then gone out? But I can tell you something, it will not stop our worship. And it will not stop the death and the excitement and the enthusiasm of our worship. These are things God is all around us. Stretch out your hands. Being a Christian is tough. How do we approach this person? The fastest thing that somebody wants to do is to pick up a gun. When I was a kid, I did not fight. But people around me were fighting. And they fought with their hands. The most thing they got was a black eye. Now somebody is ready to pick up a gun if you don't agree with them or if you don't like something. They don't have to have any reason. Some little stupid reasons for taking somebody's life. Being a Christian is tough. And we're called to love these people, the ones that just went into those schools. Huh? The boy that just took up 17 children down in the park. And I'm called to love him. Jesus loves him. What we're called to do is to develop a relationship. Who do we develop relationships? We sit down and we talk. And we talk and we talk and we talk and we hold someone's hand. That's how we show the love of Jesus. This is not going to happen overnight. How many people have you invited to this church? I can't do it. I look around today, where's everybody? How many people have you said, come and go to church? Just been an hour and a half, not even quite an hour and a half. all have family members. I have family members that I would love to see in church. Or a friend. Or a total stranger. I have been around total strangers all week. And some of them have been really nice to me. You know, I sat down next to the lady on the plane on Friday night and I could see from her all the year. You should not have sat next to me, lady. It was all over her face. And at the end of the trip, I said, are you going to learn for vacation? No. Are you returning? Bring someone to Christ. Amen.
Amen.